much for your love for us and, Lord, your great name. Thank you that on the cross you forgave us of our sins. And, Lord, we are so grateful for our lives in you, our freedom that we have in you, our forgiveness, and to know that you love us enough to die for us, that we might have this relationship with you, and to know that we'll be with you and together for all eternity. Thank you for that. Thank you that all your promises will come through because you are true to your word. I ask that you'd open up our hearts now and speak into our hearts. We might hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I, and you probably do also, often hear these kinds of questions or comments. And tell me, maybe you've said these. I've said them, and other people have said them. I mean, and they go like this. What is going on in our world? What has happened to our culture? How did we get here? Now, maybe it's after another school shooting, or maybe it's after some moral impropriety by another prominent person, or maybe it's just the reality of living in a world of violence, of immorality, of animosity, of strife, of division. And we look and we think, how did we get to this point? How do we get in this situation? And what I would like to do today is the chaos that has been created by all that's going on in our culture, I believe has had a significant negative impact upon our own lives. And in two ways. The first way, and this goes along with where we've been going in our series on wisdom, is in relationships. The animosity in the public arena has spilled over into private relationships. Romans says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think what has happened is that without knowing it, we have all been conformed to this world in some ways, by the animosity and the strife that has taken place in the world right now. And then the second one, we're going to focus on that today and next week. And then the second one is, I believe it's had a negative impact on our spiritual, emotional health. And we'll look at that as we go a little bit more through the summer. So today, looking at wisdom and the negative impact and how to counteract that in our year of wisdom, I think maybe the number one key to maintaining healthy relationship is this. Now, you know, everybody always has a number one key, so this may be 1A, B, or C. But is learning the art of forgiving. I think that plays an enormous role in having healthy relationships. The reason being is that you will have many opportunities to practice that art. We probably have daily opportunities to practice the art of forgiving. If you're around people, you do. Proverbs says this, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. The word cover here can mean to forgive or to overlook an offense. Look what it says. If you forgive or overlook an offense, you seek love. But if you repeat, if you bring it back up, you destroy relationships. The inability to forgive always destroys relationships. A failure to forgive creates a bitterness inside of us, and then we have grudges, and that leads to a desire to give out retribution and revenge. And it can destroy entire cultures. I was talking with a friend who works for Wycliffe Bible Translators, and he works in Papua New Guinea. And he says that what they've learned in going in there is that it is an entire culture built on revenge killing. Because it's happened all throughout their history. And they've had to go in and work and completely change the way the people view it over the, and they've been there for years, missionaries have been there for years, trying to rearrange their thinking. Today, and we see this in many other ways, you know, we see this in the Arab-Israeli conflict. We see it in so many conflicts. They've gone on for hundreds and thousands of years. And it's because of the inability to forgive. Today, here in our situation, I think the failure to learn the art of forgiving has led to our inability to have civil discussion and discourse and treat others with respect in our culture, in our world. It's because we're unable to forgive that we see all that's going on. And I think this plays such a key role in all of this. Jesus, in Matthew 6:12, says this, and this is the Lord's Prayer, and he says this in Matthew, says, and forgive us our debts, kind of towards the end of the Lord's Prayer, and we are familiar with this one, as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, that's the end of the Lord's Prayer. That's where we ended. Some add then the power and the kingdom and all that, but that was added. And then he gives a little commentary, Jesus does, on verse 12 and verse 14. He says this, for if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I want to sit there a second. And I want us to sit there a second till we're all really uncomfortable. Here's why. Because when Jesus said those words, it made everybody who heard those words feel very uncomfortable. Our tendency, I have done this in teaching this passage. And as I was going through it this week, I thought, I'm not going to do this. Our tendency is to automatically explain that. We just want to explain it. Jesus didn't explain this. He said it because he wanted it to just sink in. Now, I do have to explain it before everybody gets really concerned here. This verse has nothing to do with going to heaven. Zero. This is not a going to heaven verse. This is not a verse saying that, you know, when you get to heaven, if you get there and stand in front of Jesus and he said, you didn't forgive this person, gone. Nothing to do with that. But it does have everything to do with how our relationship with others and how our relationship with God are completely tied together. What he is saying here is our ability to experience God's forgiveness is directly tied to our ability to forgive others. In every way, completely tied to our ability to forgive other people. It really can't be questioned. We just look at it and that's what it says. Now, we know we're forgiven of our sins because of the death of Jesus on the cross. We understand that. But this is the Sermon on the Mount. He's not talking about that. He's talking about reconciliation, relationships within the kingdom of God. And when it comes to that, Jesus is emphasizing that forgiveness is of vital importance in every way, shape, or form. Forgiveness is hard work. If you've ever forgiven anybody, you know it. It really is hard work. And also, forgiveness is a process. It's not a one and done kind of a thing. I'm sure you've experienced that where you forgive somebody for some way that they offended you or harmed you, and the and at that point, and you think, okay, I've finally forgiven this person, and then a week later, it bubbles up again, right? It's because it is a process. We all go through that process of having to go back, okay, and forgive again, to go back and forgive again. Forgiveness is hard, but not forgiving is harder. The bitterness that comes in our hearts from not forgiving becomes, the Bible says, rottenness to the bones. The proverb says, bitterness is rottenness to the bones. It is bitterness, and the inability to forgive is unhealthy. All kinds of studies have been done that show that there are tremendous health benefits to forgiving people and negative impact upon those who will not forgive people. Back in 2010, Cindy and I did a thing on forgiveness together up here. Some of you may remember that if you were around then. And we read a book, and I would encourage you to read it. It's called The Art of Forgiven by Smeeds. Lewis Smeeds is his name, and I think the next slide, if we go to the next slide, it has. There it is. There's his name. And I've got a number of quotes from that book here. Here's one. It's forgiveness is good for us. Forgiving is an event inside a heart that hurts, and it happens only when we don't want to hurt anymore. Forgiving begins a healing process in our lives. Forgiving is an opportunity to do something beneficial for ourselves and for others. Forgiving is beneficial to you, and it is also beneficial to others. Today, we're going to focus, the principles we look at are going to focus on maybe what we could call typical offenses and wounds, common offenses and wounds, and how to apply these principles to those. And I say that because I think some of us have experienced catastrophic injury and offense in our lives. Really, really serious things have happened in our past. And when those things happen, whatever they are, I believe it is really necessary to have to get outside help to help you walk through forgiveness in those areas. I think it is critical to do that with those things. You can't just hear some principles in a sermon and then, okay, and deal with major issues that have taken place in your past. I would really encourage you for that. Get out somebody outside to walk with you through the process. The next slide. This kind of lays out here, going to lay out the process of forgiving. The first line up there says, we rediscover the humanity of a person who hurt us when we forgive. We rediscover a person's humanity. When somebody offends us, somebody injures us, somebody hurts us, what we do is we take that event, and this is just human nature, we turn it into a story. We turn it into a narrative, and that story becomes a loop in our mind that just keeps running, and we tell ourselves that same story over and over and over again, and as we tell the story itself grows. And the story turns really into a nightmare, and the person who did the injury evolves into an evil, sinister monster in our minds. Now, let me say, sometimes they are monsters. But normally, they are people who are just like you and I, who are failures, sinners. People who just make mistakes. But also people who are created in the image of God. And what happens in forgiving is we begin this process of turning the person from a monster into an individual who is created in the image of God, who has offended us, who has hurt us. But in doing that, we realize that we are the same way. Just like, and again, this is not the I'm not talking about the extreme situation. That's different. But just like you and I have been offended and hurt by people, we have done the same thing. And we will continue to do the same thing. Because we're human. We are failures. We are sinners. We are broken in so many ways. All of us. And we don't want others turning us into monsters, do we? But there are people out there doing that to you today. Sorry if that bothers you. But it's happening right now. It's happening. And it just keeps this animosity going. Second line says, when we forgive, we surrender our right to get even. That is a must in forgiveness, is to come to a point where it's like, okay, I'm going to give up, stop, cease ever wanting to get even with this person. And what that also means is it means stop wishing they would have at least the same amount of pain, but probably more pain than you had from what they did to you. That's what we do. We don't talk about that because that sounds terrible, but we really wish not just our pain upon them, but double our pain upon them. And in the forgiving process, we must surrender that, give up that. And then third, it says here, we act like God. When we forgive, we act just like Jesus. To be like Jesus means to be a forgiving person. Be kind to one another, Ephesians says, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. How do you want God in Christ to forgive you? Fully, wholly, completely, right? Well, that's how he has forgiven you, fully, wholly, and completely. Well, that's how God wants us to act towards one another. The next slide. Only the wounded are qualified to forgive. This is important, and it seems like, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. But we can miss this. And here's how. And this is really us helping others. We cannot pressure someone to forgive another person. The person who has been wounded must choose to forgive. Now, we can be there to help them with the process. It's like with children, right? You can make a child say they're sorry, right? All of us have done that as parents. Can you make a child sorry? No. Sometimes I think people have been made to say they forgive someone when they never did. And that is flawed. And I understand with children, we want to tell them to say they're sorry. I get that. It's a good habit. But they have to grow up and internalize the ability to forgive and say they're sorry and mean it. The parent can't make that happen. Here's another thing with this, is that we cannot forgive for someone else. It's their job, not ours. We cannot make another person's injury our injury and their bitterness our bitterness. cannot do that. Now, let me explain this, because there is a fine, very thin line between having compassion and empathy for somebody who's been hurt and bearing that burden with them and helping them through that and taking on their wound and bitterness. And it is really easy to slip on the other side of that line. And we have to be really careful of that. We just simply, we see somebody else that we love has been injured, and then we should go and be compassionate and bear their burdens, like the Bible says, and all of that stuff. But it's so easy to slip, isn't it? Into taking on their injury and their bitterness within us. And then us becoming bitter towards the person who did the injuring. The next slide. When forgiveness is appropriate, we forgive persons for what they do, not for what they are. This is really important, because what this means is this: all of us fail, we all sin, we all forget, because we are human. It goes with the territory, all of these things. We don't forgive anybody for being human. So for failing, for sinning, for forgetting. We only forgive those failures and those sins that are directly against us and hurt us. That's all. And so this goes to the proverbial, toothpaste. You know, the person who squeezes the toothpaste from the wrong place or leaves the cap off, right? You know, you don't forgive somebody for that. You don't. Now, unless, here's the only way you could forgive somebody for not putting the cap on the toothpaste. If they purposely set it up so that when you grab it, you know, they have determined in their mind a way to make that toothpaste get all over you. It's the only way you can forgive someone for the toothpaste or spilled milk. That's people spill milk. People forget. The next line says, we forgive people who wound us seriously. When we forgive for, we think, oh, I'll forgive that person for this silly little thing, we cheapen forgiveness. We make it cheap. Next verse is really good. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. There are offenses that must be overlooked. 1 Peter says this, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. We need to learn, as they used to use the term, we need to have largeness of spirit. We need to have inner spirits that are very, as Christians, are very, very hard to offend. If you are easily offended, you have a love problem. That's what 1 Peter says. If you get easily offended, there's a lack of love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Next slide. This is another quote from that book. Forgiving is for the wounds that stab at our souls, for wrongs that we cannot put up with ever from anyone. When we forgive people for things that do not need forgiving, we dilute the power, spoil the beauty, and interrupt the healing of forgiveness. But when we forgive the things that forgiving is for, we copy God's own art. That's why there's so much power in forgiving somebody who has wounded you. There's just so much power there. For your own life first, but then for the world. The power of the cross is that Jesus did nothing wrong and shed his blood for all of our sins. And we get to participate in that by forgiving people. We get to be like Jesus in all of that and participate in his life. It's not just, okay, now I'm really like Jesus. It's, I'm partaking in God's relationship, the Trinity. Think about that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God has invited us into that relationship. And a key way of getting in there is learning to forgive. A key way of experiencing that, I should say, is learning how to forgive other people. I just think of, you know, and it's okay to do this. Just put yourself there in heaven with the Trinity before all this was going on, and they come up with this plan. They did. They're going to create these people. They're going to sin against us like crazy, and then we're going to die for them and forgive them and bring them back into relationship with us. That was in the mind of God for all eternity to do this. And then he invites us into all of that with him. Here are just some quotes. I got some of these from Dave Brunell that he had a little piece of paper he gave me. And this is forgiveness does not, because sometimes I think we get confused what forgiveness is and isn't. And he said, forgiveness does not depend on another person saying they're sorry. Forgiveness is your thing, and you can do it. Even oftentimes, the person that you need to forgive could care less. That's a reality. They could care less. Even if you told them, I forgive you, they could care less. But you can still forgive. You can still forgive them, even in that kind of a situation. Forgiveness does not condone or excuse another's behavior. That's important. We're not saying, oh, what you did really didn't matter. No, when you forgive somebody, in order to forgive somebody, and this probably is going to come up here, and I'm jumping ahead, is you have to name what they did wrong in order to forgive it. You have to say, this was done to me, and this was wrong, if you want to forgive it. Forgiveness does not mean we forget the wrong done to us. The little saying, forgive and forget, not really. Especially, there are times where we forgive and we don't want to forget because that person is still harmful. That person is still dangerous. Forgiveness does not restore the relationship necessarily. Some relationships should never be restored. And the restoration of a relationship is really dependent on the other person. You forgive. Forgiveness does not remove another from the consequences of their behavior. And it does not mean we surrender our right to justice. In the criminal situation, a person can forgive a criminal for what they did to them or their family, but that doesn't mean the person goes off. No, they still have to pay the consequences of what they did. Here's some forgiveness does's, only they're not going to be up there. Sorry. Forgiveness does allow the forgiver to experience freedom from the offense and the offender. When we forgive somebody, it gives us freedom. We're no longer under the control or the fear of the person who offended us. It releases us from that. The next one here says it gives back control to the offended. It allows the healing process to begin. The next slide, Matthew 18:21, and we'll close with this section, actually this verse. Jesus is talking about relationships in the church, and it's in this section he talks about, you know, the whole thing of what we call excommunication. If your brother sins against you, go to him in private. if he listens to you, you know, great. If he doesn't, take two or three more. And if he doesn't listen to those, take the church. If he doesn't listen to the church, you know, treat him like a tax collector and a sinner. And then he says this. After that, Peter asks him, excuse me. After that, Peter says, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. The issue with Peter here is that when Peter says up to seven times, he thinks he's being like the most wonderful person that ever lived. He does, because Peter always thinks he's the most wonderful person that ever lived. And seven was like, that's like nobody would forgive seven times. And then Jesus says 70 times seven, and basically what he's saying is forgiveness does not count, Peter. Forgiveness does not keep score. And we have to ask ourselves, are we keeping score with anybody in our lives? Is there anyone we keep score? You know, another check mark, or not check mark, I guess. It would be another X mark. Each time they do it. You know you're keeping score if you say, oh, you always do this. Well, that's keeping score. Forgiveness does not keep score. Let's pray with that. Let's close here. Lord, we do thank you for, we ask you to help us, Lord. It's not easy. All of us have people we have to forgive. And it's never easy to forgive. It's easy to hold grudges. It's easy to get bitter. It's always hard to forgive. But in the long run, Lord, we know that forgiving people is going to be so beneficial and good for us. Even if they never receive our forgiveness or want it, our lives will be better. Our lives will be more like you because we took that step. We went through that process in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together and